If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 10. The book of Hebrews chapter 10, as we go through Hebrews chapter by chapter, verse by verse. We've learned a lot in these past nine chapters. The Father speaking of the all-sufficiency of His Son. And it would seem through these past chapters, part of 7, 8, and 9, where we see consistency. I won't use the word redundant because that would assume that there's no need for it. But we see a continuation of God's message to us is that Jesus was all-sufficient. Sufficient prophet, sufficient sacrifice, sufficient door to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of God. He is our high priest, no longer a priestly system and a sacrificial system to get to Christ, but we can go right to Him direct. This is why He says, and we'll talk about it as we go forward, come boldly into the throne room. Why boldly? Well, the priest, when he went in for the sacrifices, they had these little bells on the end of his clothing that they would hear it ring, and if it didn't ring, they would pull him out with a rope. Because he was dead, his sacrifice and his contrite heart wasn't sufficient, and God struck him dead. So there was an uncertainty whether or not the sacrifices would be sufficient. They weren't sufficient. They were a picture of what was to come, a shadow or a picture of what Jesus would fulfill, the all-sufficient Christ. This is why John the Baptist says, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So that Lamb of God was sacrificed. It is finished. It is complete. God the Father accepted that sacrifice. So when Jesus said, it is finished, guess what? In Hebrew, it's finished. It's completed. So we don't have to worry about, well, did God accept this sacrifice, right? He is accepted. The sacrifice was sufficient. So now, because we believe in Christ with our heart and confess with our mouth, His Spirit dwells within us, we can come boldly to His throne. Come boldly. Now, there's some denominational things. You'll hear people screaming, we're coming boldly. The boldness is that it is sufficient. The consistency of what Jesus Christ has done. We can come boldly because we know, without a doubt, that our sins are forgiven. Amen? And that's encouraging to me, certainly. Sacrifice under the old covenant could not truly take away sin. The law was given to show man how to live. But man, in his fallen, sinful state, which we are all born into, right, could not live the law. If we could, Jesus wouldn't have had to come, right? So the law was to show us we need a Savior. I can't do this. I'm failing left and right. I can't continue keeping these laws, right? I need a Savior. So the law was to show man he needed a Savior. Hebrews 10, verse 1 through 4. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices which they offered continually year by year make those who approach perfect. They could not and would not make man pure before God. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers once purified would have no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices there is a reminder of the sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. So what is he saying here? If these sacrifices were sufficient, then those who gave the sacrifices would be pure, right? But they could never take away the sins. And the sin offerings was to show man and remind man of his sin and that we needed a Savior. And so each time they would slaughter the lamb or the goat or the dove. Cutting and killing was a picture of what they did. Was a result of their sin. And it would remind them each time they would go in for this offering that they need a Savior. And Jesus was the fulfillment of the Savior, of the sacrifice. And I love that. This is why we can come boldly to the throne. He took care of it all. Once and for all. Sanctified, cleansed by His blood, filled with His Spirit, which is a seal and a guarantee of our inheritance. Now, notice the law was only a shadow of the good things to come. The value of the studying of the book of Leviticus and studying the law as well to the Christian speaks of the foreshadowing of the coming of Christ, the work that he would do, the offering of Jesus Christ, the high priestly nature of Jesus Christ. Paul tells us this in Colossians chapter 2, where Christ, through his death, blotted out the handwriting and the ordinance that were against us, nailing them to the cross and triumphing over them. So the law, listen, has no effect on the believer. Why is that? Because the wages of my sin is death. That's the law. But Jesus paid the penalty for my sin, so now that death has no power over me. And when he's speaking of death, he's speaking of eternal death. Not the physical. Physical is a result of that, right? But the eternal death. So now I'm living under God's grace, not under his law. Now we're all living in a time of grace now because Jesus is calling all men unto himself, right? Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you that rest. Therefore, don't let any man judge you in respect to meat, drink, new moons. Paul's talking about this in Colossians. Holy days or Sabbath days, for these were all shadows of things to come. But the substance is Christ. What is our faith? Hebrews 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Jesus Christ. And the evidence of things not seen. The transformation that happens as a believer. The Holy Spirit changes us. Substance of things hoped for. Evidence of things not seen. Now, when I was a younger boy and we would read the scriptures in the Catholic school that I attended, I didn't understand why when Jesus would heal on the Sabbath, why would he do that? He would be breaking the law, right? If he did something on the Sabbath, he would be breaking the law, correct? But he was the fulfillment of that law. He is our Sabbath rest. Did you get that? He is our Sabbath rest. He is the fulfillment of the law. He didn't eliminate the law, not one jot or tittle, and one mark of that law did he get rid of. Because if you're not saved by his blood, you're going to pay your penalties of the law. So Christ standing here, this point in history, his shadow was cast over the past history. The shadow of Christ is there in the law and in the sacrifice. Jesus is the substance that cast that shadow. And so there is a real substance in Jesus Christ. Christ in me, the hope of glory, right? Jesus, where is he? He's at the right hand of the Father. There is a heavenly place that we are going to go to, that we will spend eternity with him one day. Right? That is our hope. We're looking up. We'll be here for the millennial period with Christ for 1,000 years. This earth will be destroyed. The new Jerusalem will come down, and we will dwell with him. So we're going someplace. It's tangible. These things were all a foreshadowing of his coming. And once he came, listen, they were no longer necessary. No longer necessary to have the shadows. For we now have the substance in Jesus Christ. That makes sense? And that's exciting. I don't have to go through a priestly system for forgiveness of sins. I don't have to kneel in a confessional. I can go right to Jesus right here and now, right? There is no veil. There is no temple. He is the temple, right? There is no sacrificial system for us to turn to for our sins. He has done that. He is that sacrifice. And so these things were all a picture of. Now notice, we've talked about this the last couple chapters. Why do you think God keeps repeating these same topics? He wants us to know, and he wants us to understand, so that when we see all these other things happening around us, we'll understand, well, there's no need for that. It doesn't apply, right? All sufficiency is in Jesus Christ, and because he has accepted, this is my son who I love, the Father says, I can come boldly in his presence, knowing for sure that sacrifice of Jesus' blood was acceptable to the Father. And who did he die for? The whole world. He died for you and me. And if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, I am saved and I can come boldly into his throne. This is what he means. Come boldly. Know that sacrifice was sufficient for the forgiveness of our sins. The priestly system, because he was a sinful man, he had to give a sacrifice for his sins. And if he didn't have a holy, contrite heart, when he went into the presence of the Holy of Holies, he would be smitten. He would die. And so they would have these bells on his tassels, like I said, and they would tie a rope to his feet. Pull this guy out of here. He's not good. Who's next? Right? And as that priest got older and died, then another guy would come in. Jesus is our ultimate high priest. And I like that. That's great. Verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offerings I did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. And then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and the offerings for sin you did not desire nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. And then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. And by that, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Listen, underline these three words, once and for all. Once for all, it says, right? Underline that. Once for all. Jesus doesn't have to be sacrificed at every Mass. Matter of fact, he's not. He has sacrificed once and for all. There is no sacrificial temple. Now, we know when the Antichrist comes, he will allow them to build their temple, but the temple's not going to save them. The sacrifices are not going to save them. When Jesus comes back, they're going to see the one they killed, right? And they're going to mourn, but Jesus is going to forgive their sins. The true Jews. So listen, we've been sanctified through the body of Jesus Christ. That means I have been made righteous through Jesus Christ. This unholy man has become holy because of what Jesus has done. This unholy man has become holy because of the sacrifice that he did on the cross. This unholy man has become holy in the presence of the Father because I have been cleansed by his Son's blood. I am righteous through Jesus. I am accepted in Jesus. And all that I have in my relationship with God today must and does come through Jesus. He is my peace. He is my maker, my representative, right? My high priest. He is my righteousness. He is my sin offering. He is my sin offerer. He is my mediator, my high priest. He is everything. Jesus is everything to us. And without him, I have nothing, and I have no access to God. I am alienated from God, and I am hopelessly and helplessly lost apart from Jesus Christ. Now, there are many religions. The Jewish religion says, well, we have the Father and Abraham and Moses, right? But Scripture says, without the Son, they don't have eternal life. They don't have salvation. The Father speaks of the Son. The Holy Spirit speaks of the Son. We don't worship the Holy Spirit, we worship Jesus. My sons went with me to New York City to the festival of 2015 with Luis Palau. And it was they're funny guys. They had all access passes, and it was very, very quick that everybody knew that they were with me. And they were all over the place. They were standing on the stage taking pictures and everything else. It was pretty funny. But no one stopped them. You know why? Because of who their father was. Right? They had access because they were with me. Now, I had access because I was with Luis, but I'm using this as an illustration. My two sons had access because who their father was. Isn't that neat? And we have access to heaven because who our Father was, but because of what Jesus has done, right? He is the door. He is the way. No one gets to the Father but through him. This is why it's so important that we speak of Jesus when we evangelize and speak of that atoning sacrifice.